Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Spiegel and Parkin Show.
Gigantic breaking news. Jose Quintana is on the Cubs. The White Sox rebuild will be injected with outfielder Eloy Jimenez, right-handed pitcher Dylan Cease, first baseman Matt Rose, infielder Bryant Fleet.
He's just about a perfect fit for us and what we're trying to do. He's the type of pitcher we've been trying to acquire unsuccessfully now for a long time.
Kudos to Rick Hahn for powering through what I know was intra-organizational obstruction to get this done.
If anyone feels like we should take an inferior baseball deal simply because of the emotion of the scrutiny that comes with dealing with the Cubs, then, you know, they've got the wrong people running this franchise.
It feels like this is so good for both squads. To me, this puts the Cubs back in play.
It came about in part because it was so logical. We've been very transparent about our desire to acquire young starting pitching. We've got a surplus of that.
One of the biggest baseball news days in the history of Chicago.
Matt Spiegel.
Barry Rosner.
How about that whole deal?
Middays on the Score.
The Chicago sports treasure, Barry Rosner, sits across from me right here, live in the Hyundai studios. See the Sonata at your Chicago, Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers. And check out the Santa Fe Sport, a delightful midsize SUV that fits beautifully in a downtown parking lot. I can say so from experience. Hello, Barry.
Hello, Matt. How come all the American Needle hats are to your right as opposed to, say, in between us where they used to be? What has happened in low these many months that I haven't seen?
I think your good friend Brian Gertz was too distracted by talking about golf courses with you than to put them where they usually are. Or maybe you just dumped all your stuff over there on that side of the studio.
I always move it when he comes in and starts to set up his various forms of paraphernalia.
Not this time. Ironic that you used paraphernalia since the golf course he was talking about with you was in Colorado.
Yeah, no wonder he liked it so much.
It was the most beautiful course I ever saw, dude.
Man, it was great. They had Cheetos everywhere. Every hole had Cheetos.
We have to be careful not to badmouth Brian Gertz because he will come in here and kill us all. That is a genuine fear.
I just have one question for you. When?
As Barry awaits the sweet meteor of death, we're going to do a radio show for you right here. Jay Zawoski and Rick Camp on the other side. Ray Diaz for a couple hours. Lots of stuff coming up today. Casey Johnson's going to be in the studio. We'll take a little break from baseball conversation and talk about the Bulls and some bizarre summer league stuff that had gone on and people leaving and everything like that. And we'll look forward to that at about 11 o'clock. Later on, about 12:30, Eno Saris from Fangraphs and other stuff is going to be in here in studio. We'll talk about baseball at the break. Jonah Carey for his regular Friday appearance at 10:40. But Barry and I get to start talking with you about, as I said in the open, I wonder if you agree, one of the biggest Chicago baseball news days ever, in that it brings together both sides of town with so many layers, so much to break down and dissect. And I really liked your column in the Daily Herald. I read it this morning. You used a word that I loved in describing this because I think it makes sense. When you're dealing with two now very clearly empowered and intelligent front offices, they end up making a deal that feels sensible on all sides. And the word you used was satisfying.
Yeah, I was impressed by the aggressiveness of both. I mean, I tried to remember a time and you know, I'll delve into your question about, you know, how big of a baseball day it was in this city in terms of the history. But I'm impressed by the aggression shown by both teams at the same time, whether it's with each other or not. I was trying to remember a time when both teams were so purposeful at the same moment.
Yes.
And I struggled to remember many years in which both teams had such a clear vision of what they wanted to do. And obviously we know what the White Sox are doing, and it's fantastic. From the Cubs standpoint, I think, you know, there's a lot of people who are going to want to try to make this about this year. And while there may be some benefits to the Cubs this year, this was 98% about the year's moving forward. This team hasn't shown Theo Epstein anything this year, any reason to think about doing something for this year. They've got 2 weeks now. Now that he's given them a shock to the system and another starting pitcher, which was absolutely necessary, now they've got 2 weeks to say, we could still play well this year. What else can you do for us? But he's not.
He's not
getting you any rentals. He's not giving away anything of value for rentals when you've played like this. There's no Gleyber Torres for Aroldis Chapman when you play like this.
Both clubs being run so sensibly with a sense of purpose, both fan bases have to sit here and say, man, I get what they're doing. It may not work. As always, this is the most difficult sport to manage and build a winner. And I really do believe that. And this is not, it may not work. We said that about the Cubs rebuild in the first couple of years. It may not work. I just like the plan. That same exact thing, of course, holds true for what the White Sox are doing. It may not work. Most of these guys may not hit, but maybe some of them will. You stockpile as many as possible. It's so incredibly sensible. And for the Cubs, yeah, it's about the window right now, not just this year. And it's so funny because Theo told you exactly what he was going to do. I ran across this quote the other day that he had given in various forms to so many people over the last couple weeks. This year, we are certainly more focused on moves that can help us win with this core over the next several years. If we have that opportunity and execute well, it should also give us the best chance for this year. They've been saying it all year long. It's not going to be about a rental. It was going to be about long-term. And, oh, by the way, it will and should help for this second half.
But they didn't mortgage anything. And it's not that he wouldn't rent if there was a reason to. He proved that last year. He's willing to give up the best prospect in baseball to rent if he thinks he can win the World Series. But this team hasn't shown you that.
No.
So you wouldn't go do that.
And don't you think that it's still possible that in 2 weeks or 2.5 weeks,
absolutely,
he might look at this team and either A, add, or B, say, you know what? I'm going to trade something. I'm going to go ahead and sell on Wade Davis, make Carl Edwards my closer, and I'll get a haul from the Nationals for Wade Davis. And I don't even damage myself that much necessarily for this year.
I can sign Wade Davis after the season if I want.
If I wanted to. Yeah. But if you're looking at your assets in a bubble, that still might end up being the sensible thing to do.
I think any of the three are possible. I think the team will. I think they could sell. I think they could add. I think they could do nothing more, and I think it's entirely up to the team. You tell me.
Show me.
You play, and you tell me. 2 weeks is a short amount of time after 3.5 months of bad baseball. 2 weeks is a pretty short amount of time. Mm-hmm. Theo Epstein is not a dumb guy. But you have so many good players that have played such bad baseball that you have every right to think you're going to get some bounce back from some portion of that over these next, you know, what is it, 10 weeks, 11 weeks? You have a right to think that there's going to be a significant bounce back, but if you don't get starting pitching, it doesn't matter. And they don't have a whole bunch of starting pitching right now. They added one guy.
Within the week or week and a half, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully he's healthy, and hopefully he's Kyle Hendricks again. But who knows? In the meantime, you've got nothing. Your rotation's been terrible.
You and I agree on what has been the number one reason. It's incredibly obvious what has been. I think they have 21 fewer quality starts at this point in the year than they did last year.
They led baseball with 100 last year. They were on pace as of last week for about 58 or 60, something like that.
So, and there you go.
So
you're asking so much of your bullpen. And they're giving up so many runs. I have it here. Was it 88 runs?
Yeah, almost.
First inning.
It's almost a
80
run.
runs over the 88 games.
It's something like 0.96 runs per game in the first inning, which is the worst in baseball. Last year, I think they were third best. And it really, everything you look at, in terms of their starting rotation last year, in nearly every category, they were best in baseball. This year, in nearly every category, the starting rotation, except for ERA, where they're about 17th, every other category, they're 24 to 28.
The bottom six in baseball in first inning runs allowed, Cubs, worst, Mets, Padres, Reds, Mariners, Blue Jays.
They belong in that conversation.
Yep.
That's how mediocre to bad they've been all season. They belong in that conversation with those bad teams. If you're not, I mean, it is... It is hard enough to hit a Major League Baseball when you're confident and you know exactly what you're doing, but when you're down 5-0 in the first every day and you ask your guys to go out there and they're already in a slump and they're trying to guess fastball, breaking ball, and you're down 5 and should I take a pitch? Should I try to hit it out? I mean, you are making the game hard enough for your players, and this is just making it worse.
Yeah, let's go ahead and add anxiety to an entire lineup that's pressing every day to begin
with.
That's
terrible. That's been terrible. So terribly inconsistent all year.
Mm-hmm. 670, the score is where you are. You can text us at 670-11. Call us right now, 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. Talk to us. Talk to me and Barry about this trade, about the many layers, the many angles on it. You know, it's like, you got the Cubs, who once, of course, were making deals like this from the other perspective. I keep thinking about the day that Addison Russell was acquired for Samardzija and Hamill, and there were other prospects in there. And I remember Jed Hoyer saying, Look, I love what Billy Bean did. You know, you gotta go for it sometimes when you get to that right part of the cycle. And here they are in the right part of the cycle. And it's not as bad of a trade as that was in terms of the rental. Like, you knew that was risky as all hell because it was such a limited window. They're getting 4 pennant races out of Quintana. But, you know, they're where they are. And the Sox are now the rebuilders with a fan base that near universally embraces it. Can you imagine? Like, hey, go back, what, 7 years? Can you imagine both sides of town being run the way they have been and the way they are now, and both fan bases in this town embracing the long view like they do? It's kind of staggering.
Yeah, we still get some pushback on hit and runs,
Games. That's what is that?
Those are the runs that you're about to get. On hit and run, we still get some pushback from callers. There's your plural that I was looking for. But it's not very much. And I'm glad you mentioned Samardzija and Hamill for Addison Russell, because yesterday what I was thinking about in terms of the White Sox was the extraordinary asset management that's taking place here on both sides of town. The Cubs collected all these guys. They collected guy after guy after guy, whether it was trade or draft or international signing. And they just kept collecting guys. And what we kept trying to explain was, first of all, some will be good, some will be average, some will be terrible, and some will be moved to get what you need when you're in a position to get to try to acquire the things that you need. And that's what they're doing now. So while some people are upset that they would dare trade a couple of monster prospects, that's what you do when you're in a position to win, if not this year in general, over the next 4 or 5 years.
As long as you feel good enough about your major league team, which has so many of your young players that would be on your prospect list anyway.
So it's managing assets. Right now, Rick Hahn is in the business of collecting assets. He doesn't know what he has. All he knows is he's now got one of the top 3 systems in baseball. His top 7 prospects have all been acquired since the 1st of December. and what he's doing, he's going to keep doing, and he's just going to keep adding. Because if you get 25 or 30 of those guys,
mm-hmm.
well, you know, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, you're going to be in a position that the Cubs are in, where you can add the things that you need to add by moving some of these assets. They're not all staying here.
No.
Every one of these guys is not going to be here. Every one of these guys is not going to make it. It's just part of the process.
This segment is brought to you by ADT. Home isn't just a place. It's the feeling of knowing you're safe. ADT lets you take that feeling with you. Learn more at ADT.com. We'll take a break. We'll come back. I want your thoughts on the historical context of the news day. Not in terms of, like, the bigness of an event, but the news day, as it regards to the entire town full of baseball people and baseball fans. And also something you said about the collection of these guys, just how prescient Theo and Jed were in manipulating the rules to get where they are. It's Spiegs and Rosner in for Danny Parkins on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I think there's no reason to have, strict, brick walls up right now, given the fact that they want to make the best deal possible for them, and we want to make the best possible deal for us, and I don't think that they felt like they were you know, helping us. You know, and they looked at like they were helping them. They found a team that was willing to pay a high price for Quintana, and they acted on it.
That's Jed Hoyer was on the station yesterday right here on The Score. He was on with Bernstein and Goff. Rick Hahn was on earlier in the day with me and Lawrence Holmes. Lawrence is gone. He's gone.
Where'd he go?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, I do know. He went to Pittsburgh. They're going to see some baseball games in Pittsburgh, he and the wife. I've still never been to that park. I hear it's incredibly beautiful. It looks incredibly beautiful. I want to go. Have you been? Have you been there?
Yeah, it's a great place. It's just, you know, as someone who did it for a living, when
right.
I hear someone's going on vacation
to a ballpark
to watch baseball, I want to jab a pen through my eye. But if that's what gives you pleasure, I think that's great. And I do love to watch baseball. It's just I mean, look, I watch the Dodgers every night. I love baseball. But I'm trying to imagine, like, selling that to my wife. Like,
honey,
hey, what do you say? Would you like to see Fenway Park? And she says, what? Fenway Park. She said, what is it? What kind of a park is it? It's a baseball stadium.
There's big weeping willows in there and benches next
what
to
What are we going to have? Are we having a picnic? What are we doing? I thought we were going to Disney World.
Yeah, not quite. Callers, we're going to get to you in a second. But Barry, you remember when Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer and everybody came here, baseball had just changed the rules to take away something that they had done in Boston, which is drafting players and paying them way over slot. Tell people what that is.
Well, they took away several things that they love to do. They took away the over slotting. They took away the and Theo sort of cornered the market on collecting guys on July 31st just to have them for 2 months, even if the salaries were bad,
and get
in order to get the sandwich picks.
The sandwich draft picks. And they would use those draft picks to draft guys who were like considered to be unsignable or something.
Unsignable, yeah.
And then they'd throw crazy money at them because the Red Sox had crazy money.
Yeah. So
they found a way to use their crazy money to take advantage of a rule that a lot of teams were not able or willing to take advantage
of. Well, some teams weren't able to, as you point out. Some teams just thought it was immoral, that it was not what we do in baseball. This just isn't what we do. There are unwritten rules in regards to how we draft guys and who we're going to pay and how much we're going to pay them. You can't just draft Steven Strasburg and Bryce Harper and anybody and the Uptons and draft anybody you want to and pay them all this money. It's just not right. Well, Mike Rizzo's done it for years, and he did it in Arizona, and Theo was doing it in Boston. Well, Theo comes here in what? In the
2012.
The first week of November or the second, whatever it was. Well, first week of December, there's a new CBA. And out the window goes many of the things he used to use to game the system.
So they had to find new things. And one of the things they found, which is now mostly gone as well, is that if you sign international free agents, teams had an allotted amount that they could use to sign international free agents. And if you go over the allotted amount, you incurred heavy fines. And then you also couldn't sign free agents for certain bonus amounts for the following signing period. Some of the stuff is the same. Some of the stuff has changed from a couple years ago. But anyway, clubs could trade their international bonus pool wedges, similar to other leagues trade draft picks. And what happened was some teams exploited what they saw as relatively soft penalties, where the clubs that were rich blew past the spending limits of the international free agents and would sign those international free agents and go ahead and pay this tax because, whatever, we have lots of money. And this is what the rich Cubs did under Theo's guidance. Under this system, the Cubs signed Gleyber Torres and Eloy Jimenez. And they'd also signed Jorge Soler to that giant contract, which was, what, $30 million over 9 years, I believe it was.
And where are those three guys?
Those three guys that they signed by taking advantage of a rule. The Torres, Jimenez, and Soler have turned into Aroldis Chapman last year to win a World Series, Wade Davis to try and go for it this year, and now Jose Quintana for the next four pennant races. This is what they did with those three guys that they took advantage of a rule to acquire. And it's amazing. And none of them are going to help the big league club all that much in terms of actually playing there. Only one of them even got there. But they used those three assets, like you were talking about in segment one, and turned them into those three guys. That's how you run a team. And Rick Hahn has a similar thing that he did that I want to talk with you about at some point this hour, too.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This segment is brought to you by ADT. Home isn't just a place. It's the feeling of knowing you're safe. ADT lets you take that feeling with you. Learn more at ADT.com. Before we go to the phones, Rick Hahn's skill in negotiating and getting good young players to sign incredibly team-friendly contracts, whether it was Adam Eaton, Jose Quintana, or Chris Sale, to go to them aggressively early in their careers and say, you deserve to get paid, and we'd like to be in business with you for a long time, and sign way before arb years, buyout arb years, buyout the first year of free agency in some cases, just like way before he needed to, sign them to deals. And all of a sudden, he picked three good guys to invest in, and look at the value of their contracts in order in terms of getting what he got back for all three of them.
And he's done it with Tim Anderson now. And don't forget the risk. And I think you should include Jerry Reinsdorf and Ken Williams in that conversation as well, because that's an organizational decision. That's a risk on the part of ownership to enter into an agreement like that at such a young age. But look at the amount of money they saved, and look what they were able to turn those guys into in terms of assets coming the other way. Yeah, enormously important and brilliant. And every time he does it, it reminds me of those mid-90s Indians, early, not quite early, 93, 94, 95 Indians. When John Hart kept locking up guys who were, certainly not at the point where you thought they deserved those long contracts, but they had to because it was Cleveland. In order to keep them, that's what they needed to do, and that turned into those great 90s Indians teams.
Have you seen, there's a documentary that just came out. I haven't watched it yet. Have you? MLB Network presents on those Indians teams.
I caught 15 minutes of it. The last 15 minutes of it on MLB last night, and DVR'd it, though. I need to catch up. I've been into the Defiant ones, which is just
I haven't watched that yet.
But you're gonna,
I know. I'm gonna lose.
Do you have it all DVR'd, or are you gonna?
I got the HBO Go and the HBO Now.
Well,
and
you'll
the
watch all
HBO then.
Now that they're all available, you're gonna watch all four in succession, and you're gonna be amazed. It's extraordinary. It's just, I love storytelling. I love a good story. It just doesn't happen very often anymore. HBO is particularly good at it.
It's just about everything. Did you watch Big Little Lies?
No.
Oh, you didn't? I thought it was great. I
haven't seen it.
No.
Extraordinary story. If you love a good story, wow. What? That's just amazing. But I didn't see the 30 for 30 on Mad Dog. And
I didn't
Francesa.
See that last night either.
I don't know if I want to. Why is that something? Everybody says you got to see that, and I'm not sure I understand why. Because I don't like either one of them. So, I mean, why is that something I have to do?
As a radio junkie, or you're not really a radio junkie. I'm a radio junkie. I'll watch it. I'll definitely watch it.
I can't stand Russo. I love the MLB Network, and it just ruins it right in the middle of the day. Here he is screaming and being an idiot. It's really unfortunate.
I watched it.
Well, how was it?
It was okay.
Yeah.
It felt a little rushed that it was only an hour. Like, there was more they could have done with it, but a lot of people that I saw, the reaction was, boy, these guys are babies, aren't they?
Yeah,
they are. I don't know much about their history or any of that stuff, so that's why I have little interest. But I don't really know much about them or what the big story was of their breakup. I assume they broke up?
They broke up because their egos got too big for each other, and they decided...
Sounds impossible in the radio business.
I know. There were a lot of people.
I've never heard of such a thing.
A lot of people tweeting at me last night that they wanted to see a 30 for 30 on the early Score, or on Boers and Bernstein, or on that kind of thing.
Did you notice a clip of North and Jigs for a second?
I didn't see it, no. So there was a clip of them?
Yeah, they were going over some other stations that started because of Mike and the Mad Dog. I enjoyed it, but it just
these stations,
people
the,
have no idea that this is what radio is like, and that's that ego thing, that's quite normal around here.
Oh, no, don't say that, Joe.
Oh,
well,
okay.
This station was started because of Mike and the Mad Dog?
Well,
yeah,
the fan's success led a lot of other towns to say, you know what, let's give this a try. Either within a company or at Diamond Broadcasting at the time. So yeah, I think that's fair. That they that was they didn't start right at the beginning of FAN, Mike and the Mad Dog, did they?
No, they did not. They brought in a bunch of national guys.
Dave Sims was on there.
Yes.
Steve Summers. Schmoozing with Steve Summers.
Lampley was on there.
Oh, I forgot Lampley was on
Gumbel,
at the beginning.
And it just didn't work. They brought in people outside of New York that didn't sound like New Yorkers.
Yeah. Hmm.
Oh.
Interesting.
Susan Waldman was on there. Barry.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my.
She was good.
Roger Clemens is in George Steinbrenner's box. Oh, my goodness gracious.
And your favorite Joe Benigno.
He was in there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I need. Was anything a disgrace in Joe Benigno's world or no?
Yes.
Was Chris
Taxis.
Was Chris Christie in there? Not yet.
No,
huh?
He's not going to be. Did you hear it?
No, I didn't. I didn't hear any of it.
He
did
was
you hear some of it?
Yeah, I did. Yes. Callers calling him fat and all this stuff is great. He was complaining that he had no real shot because he was put on during the All-Star break. Welcome to radio.
Yeah, buddy. Buddy, you got to make content out of nothing sometimes. That's the nature of the business. It's not every day you get handed a trade like yesterday. Rosner, what do you think in terms of a baseball news day? Yeah, how where does yesterday rank for you in terms of a baseball news day?
Baseball news day? That win in the World Series thing
Agreed.
Was kind of big.
Absolutely.
And the White Sox won a World Series.
That was big, too.
That was kind of big.
Uh-huh.
There have been some pretty big trades. You know, look, in hindsight, things can look a lot different than they do right now. Yesterday, in the heat of the moment, I'm sure that it seemed like probably one of the biggest things of all time. It's possible that neither prospect becomes anything for the White Sox. It's possible that Quintana goes on to have some very mediocre years and the Cubs don't do anything. And then you look back and you go, well, what was the big deal? At the moment, I think you have every right to think of it as a very big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not saying it's going to have the staying power. It certainly has the chance to.
You can
envision yourself 3 years from now, Jose Quintana and the Cubs going against a very good young White Sox team with Eloy Jimenez on it and Dylan Cease either in the rotation or close. I mean, you can envision those things.
Yeah, it's, I mean, from a...
But who knows?
Look, it involved both teams. It was a huge move for both teams. It was unlikely, though not impossible. I talked to somebody with the White Sox about a month ago who said, it's absolutely not impossible. I don't know why people keep saying that. He said, I don't think we match up, but it's not impossible. Turns out they did match up.
Mm-hmm.
But that whole narrative, that's such a, Jerry Reinsdorf's a bad guy narrative. It's just something that I guess will never go away. But
well, this buries that.
I don't think anything's ever going to bury it. He's such an easy target.
But this buries the Cubs' pettiness, a part of it in terms of keeping them from making a deal. It buries that
from Jerry's standpoint.
Yeah,
you mean. Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, there have been other pretty big deals like Sosa for Bell, which at the time was a big deal. I mean, George Bell was an all-star.
I know.
But when the Cubs signed him, the winter they signed Danny Jackson and Dave Smith and George Bell, that was a very big deal on the north side. This is 1 year later now. Bell had an ankle injury late in the year, late in 91. So now it's spring of 92, and they make that deal with 3 days left in spring training.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty shocking and a pretty big deal.
But then the fallout from that is that Sosa becomes what he became on the north side, and Bell has,
his
first year was good.
His first year was good.
First year
and
was good.
And then the second year, not so much. But the White Sox did go to the postseason.
But are you telling me that didn't put the bad taste in Jerry's mouth, that I've heard from a lot of people that it did?
I couldn't answer that question because I've never asked him specifically about that.
Okay.
But
well, I've certainly never talked to him specifically, but I'd heard from people close to him that put a horrible taste in his mouth that lasted a while and made him very hesitant to want to help them out in any way because he watched Sosa rule the baseball news cycle for years and years.
I could see that. He did sell a lot of tickets. He sold a lot of beer. He sold a lot of hot dogs. He sold a lot of parking.
Right.
He sold a lot of everything. So I could see that. I could see that being the case. There have been some big trade news days. I mean, the Lee Smith deal to Boston, that was really controversial. The Madlock for Mercer deal was was incredibly big. Ernie Banks was right in the middle of that whole thing, trying to get Phil Wrigley to not trade Bill Madlock, who was a two-time batting champ at that point. I mean, those things were big. They didn't involve both teams, although obviously Sosa and Bell did. I think, you know, in the moment, we tend to not have proper perspective, and that could be part of this. But
it's the enthused nature of every fan. For the most part, positive, and certainly some negative, but for the most part, positive. But everybody's emotional investment yesterday.
Hey, I remember the day of the Sandberg deal. People were really angry because Ivan DeJesus was a popular Cub, and Larry Boa was an aging guy, and nobody knew who Sandberg was. He was, you know, just a toss-in as far as anybody knew. People were really mad. So, I mean, I don't know that there's anything that necessarily compares to yesterday because
Ardsma for Cox is close.
Because it was both. See, all right, look at After Effects. The Garland deal.
Oh, yeah.
The Garland deal.
It was a big
deal. After Effects.
That had bigger
After Effects-wise.
Yeah.
All right, well, you know, you win a World Series if you're the White Sox in large part because of that deal.
We'll come back and talk some more with you all day. It's Spiegs and Rosner in for Danny Parkins on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It is The Score, Spiegel and Parkins show with Barry Rosner sitting for Danny. Pablo Sandoval, remember him? Red Sox signed him to a $95 million deal. He has been designated for assignment today. His career war, wins above replacement as a member of the Red Sox. Anybody like to take a crack at this?
How many years now has he been there?
That I don't have in front of me. What is it, three? Maybe four?
Year and a half he was in Boston.
Since he signed the deal? No, it's been two and a half, at least, right?
Year and a half. They just have to pay, cut him a $61 million check.
Yeah, I know. He's still owed $48.66 million. When was he signed?
I thought it was after the last Giants World Series.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, we have a computer.
Yeah,
right,
we do.
Here. We could just
we
look
do.
It up.
You're
in any case.
So, yeah, so two and a half seasons, something like that. But anyway, yeah, he played very, very little. -2.0 is the war that he gave the Boston Red Sox, and they owe him $48.66 million.
Yeah, two and a half years. He played a total of 161 games for the Boston Red Sox.
That's a full season.
In 3 years, he managed, he managed 161 games.
I loved him. I loved the Panda. As soon as they signed him, it was like, you know, he doesn't really have a lot of power for a guy who's going to age now.
Think it's easier to get him on the podcast now?
On the I'm Fat podcast? I think so. Have you ever heard the I'm Fat podcast, Barry?
No, but I'm told it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's really good. I'm the producer of it.
You're producing it.
Yeah, it's my job to get in touch with Pablo Sandoval.
Barry's favorite listeners, Frank, Bill, and George, always listen to the I'm Fat podcast and contribute.
Little hit and run inside joke there. Pablo Sandoval's MVP World Series of 2012, he had an OPS of 1654. I just saw that number and kind of laughed to myself.
That's pretty good. This is David in Algonquin on 670 The Score. What do you say, David? How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm not a fan of Jose Quintana. I don't think that they should be managing on paper. He's just not a dominating pitcher at all. He's not worth the haul that was given up for him.
He's not a dominating pitcher, but can you see how somebody like him is still worthy of a trade like that? I guess you can't.
Yeah, I think he's just mediocre at best. I think the first couple months of the season is what you kind of can look at.
No. The first couple months of the season is very much an outlier in the past 3 to 4 years of his career. So you got to figure out if something major changed or not. And the Cubs scouted like crazy with analytics and with eyes over the first couple months to try and figure out if that was really him or if he was the guy who fixed himself in June. So don't go off the first couple months.
Or what about all the years where he had all these no decisions and, I mean, he effectively couldn't really help the team win? I know, you know.
No. I see that. It's the problem. The no decisions aren't his fault. That's a product of run support, right?
But if he was dominant, you know, then he would have had, the team would have won more games. He would have gone deeper into games. you know, I mean,
there's a lot to measure. Thanks, David.
David, here's what you have. I'll make it really simple for you. And you know, if you can't get past those issues, which some people can't, I understand that. If you can't, let me make it this easy for you. In the last 4 years, he has pitched 200 innings, 200 innings, 206, and 208 innings, and he's on pace for 200 innings again. At a price of now, for the next 3 years, it's laughable.
Yeah, no.
He's due six this year, eight next year, 10 the year after that, and 10 the year after that. That's a $30 million a year guy in today's market at his age, mm-hmm. at his effectiveness, and the number of innings he pitches. So you are saving somewhere in the neighborhood of $20 to $22 million a year by bringing him on staff. You just saved that much money.
You are freeing up that money to do a number of different things.
You can now buy Yu Darvish in the offseason if you want to with that money. You've gotten two for the price of one.
The value of the contract and the value of his stability and his health and his innings is a huge factor. But for a guy like David who just wants to look at him on the field, just wants to think about that, no, he's not Chris Sale. This is not as good a haul as the White Sox got for Chris Sale. But there are things to look at.
In terms of the eye test, you mean? He doesn't look like Chris Sale. That's true. In terms of how he dominates a game. But
in terms of some of the dominating numbers, in terms of strikeouts and missing bats
But sabermetrically, over the last 5 years, he's something like seventh in baseball in terms of value. Behind only Sale and Kershaw and Scherzer and Greinke.
That's the stuff that David and guys like David have to choose to be willing to look at or not. Because if you call or you have a conversation with somebody and you say, he's not dominant, he's worth it, you're missing the fact that you're not measuring his performance by the right kind of numbers, that every front office in baseball is measuring people by these days.
Now, look,
there's no organizations left that don't look at the right numbers anymore.
Yeah. And look, I have seen players and known players and covered players who were losers. Okay. They got to the fifth inning, and if the game was close, or even if they had a lead, they weren't going to hold it because they couldn't mm-hmm. finish it because they didn't have that ability. They didn't have the concentration in some cases,
yes.
or in other cases.
The toughness. The guts. That's the thing.
I didn't want to go down that road, but some guys just don't have the sack for it, okay? There are guys like that. So to say that wins are completely irrelevant in 100% of the cases is wrong.
I agree with that.
To say they're irrelevant in terms of how you should evaluate 98% of the players, that would be accurate. But there are some, and I don't think Quintana is one of them, so I think David's wrong about that, but there are some. They get to the fifth inning and they don't want to be out there anymore because they don't want to be on the hook for it one way or another.
Maybe the best part about Quintana and the thing that they also scouted is something we talk about in terms of John Lester. And let's discuss that next on 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.